Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Before we get to my guest, this weekend, March 12th to the 14th, I'm going to be at the Omaha Funny Bone. Come on out. Check me out. It's always great being there. Awesome crowds. Go online to get tickets, Omaha Funny Bone, this weekend. And the end of the month, March 26th to the 28th, I'm going to be at Mohegan Sun. Come, gamble, and get the coronavirus. No, it's not going to be there. I'm kidding. Come. March 26th to the 28th, comics at Mohegan Sun. Again, go online for tickets, and love to see you there. Also, a great, great venue. Have a great time when I'm there. And my guest this week is my good friend, Dr. Drew, and we're talking about the coronavirus, hysteria, homeless. It's a laugh a minute, everybody. That's what it is. All right, enjoy Dr. Drew. I hope to see you in Omaha or up in Connecticut at Mohegan Sun. My guest this week, and I get to see him in person, my very good friend, Dr. Drew.
Hey, man, what's happening?
I haven't seen you in a while.
It has been a while.
And I haven't seen you in this state of anger in a while.
Oh, my God. You know, that's because we haven't talked since I got my claws into the homeless thing, which also has me beyond mortified all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. We're going to start with the corona. There's a thing called a coronavirus I've heard.
What? It's
called, yeah.
Really?
And as we speak today, the governor just declared...
in New York?
The governor of New York just pulled up the National Guard for a suburb in New Rochelle, which is in Westchester, just
New
north
Rochelle,
of New Rochelle. New Rochelle. That's where Dick Van Dyke, that's where they live.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So they would be...
That's right. That's
right. They would be quarantined if they lived there right now, because I guess there's a cluster there. And... I don't know. I hear National Guard. It feels a little...
Insane.
Yes.
And, insane.
Yeah.
And did the CDC tell him to do that? Dr. Anthony Fauci, who I've been at the hem of since the AIDS epidemic, who's never made a wrong call, did he tell him to do that?
Right.
This is a medical problem. What the hell's going on here? It's a medical problem. It's a pandemic, which is a technical term that means new and widespread. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
Because people aren't medical, they get scared by that term, and the press is using it to make you even more scared. Look, we'll have a treatment for it, and we'll have a vaccine for it. In the meantime, we have containment. That's our treatment, is containment. We will tell you what to do. Listen to the doctors. They'll tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. Rest of us, go about your business. Wash your hands. Get your flu shot. Mm-hmm. 24 million cases of the flu, 280,000 hospitalizations, 18,000 dead. Which should we worry more about, the 26 people that are dead from corona or the 18,000 are dead from the flu?
Right.
What is the matter with people?
Isn't it the part of the big problem is the news cycle is 24 hours?
Yes.
So they have to break down. They have to search for something to talk about.
They do. I understand that.
I'm not
that.
Justifying it.
I understand. My profession needs to push back much harder, that we're being very kind to the journalists, and they are being reprehensible.
Well, what about
they should be ashamed of themselves. All the market collapses, jobs lost, people's supply chains interrupted. My patients can't get their medication. This has real medical effects, and it's the panic, not the virus, that's having that effect.
How do you push back?
I'm screaming at them all the time.
Yeah.
I watched a Vanderbilt infectious disease guy this morning, really a fine physician, being just grilled by these CNN reporters. And he was like, look, we're telling you what to do. We're doing it. And he had these sort of oblique answers to everything. My profession needs to say the following thing. Shut up. Shut up. Well, let my profession take care of this.
Right.
The CDC tell you something? Right. That's what you do. Right. Shut up otherwise. Stop it. Stop the panic. You're hurting people.
Right. Well, I saw an anchor on CNN trying to, they said, we've started to use the word pandemic.
I knew they'd start today. I knew it.
And
I predicted this.
And now we're going to explain to you why you shouldn't be freaked out about it, which is immediately going to make people freaked out about it. And then they tried in a 6-minute segment. And I didn't really feel any differently. It just made me feel a little bit more anxious about the whole thing.
Shut up. They should shut. 5 weeks ago, I told them to shut up. There's footage of me in a show called The Daily Blast Live going, they need to shut up. I can see where they're going with this. They're going to create a problem. And they did.
And do you think that they can't help themselves, or it's intentional?
It's clearly intentional. I just don't know what their motivation is.
Well,
because words like staggering. I heard this yesterday in a local Fox News here in New York, and I just gave them endless grief on the air. They go, Italy has 7,500 cases, a staggering number. What's the 24 million here? Is that astronomical? What is that number?
Right.
No, it's average. This is an average flu season.
Right.
80,000 dead is a bad flu season.
Right.
We're in a medium flu season. If you add the corona in, we're still in a medium flu season. What the F is going on here? I live in the twilight zone.
Are the measures that sort of the authority is taking? So, for example, they cancel Coachella. They can't still South by South.
Here's what's happening.
Does that idea of like large crowds don't go, we're going to cancel.
Here's what's happening.
Freaking out people
so,
as well?
Yeah, oh, of course. So the CDC's made some specific recommendations. Don't go to Italy. Don't go on cruise ships. If you're in a risk category, avoid groups, socially isolate. Good, do that. Do that. The rest of us go about our business. Right. Now, the private sector has decided, A, I don't want to be liable for any of this, so I have to take extraordinary measures so there's no liability. And B, I want this thing to end soon. Mm. And so if I can help, because it's affecting business, and if it needs to end, and if I can do things to help it end soon, my business will climb out of this hole quicker.
But in making, trying to end things soon, it's contributing to this
correct.
Sense of panic.
And
then it's affecting the market
correct.
And everything else. So I was asked today in an interview, you know, why is the market doing what it's doing? I worked on Wall Street. Because the market just doesn't know why. It doesn't even know why it's selling off. It's just because it doesn't know anything.
Right.
Which is part of the problem.
Well, then
there's so much
noise. And then the computers are filling fast into those spaces where there's a downtick.
Right. But the problem is, like, everything that you've said has been said, but there's so much other noise that's bullshit around it, that's the stuff that's sort of...
I'm one voice. You know what I mean? You can't hear me with all the bullshit, exactly.
And then, you know, this isn't partisan politics, but then you have a leadership that, especially in an election year. So, right, they don't want to admit that they're missing on
no,
this.
No, they're not. Here's the story. The story should be the World Health Organization, the CDC, and the equivalent of the CDC in countries throughout the world should take a huge bow. They've done an amazing job. Right. You've done a great job in containing this thing. Thank you for doing your job. That should be it. And everybody, get your flu shot. Wash your hands.
Right.
That should be the story. That's the totality of the story medically.
Right.
That's why doctors are like, what the hell's going on here? Shut up.
Right.
Stop it. People are running into the hospital utilizing services they don't need. Stop it.
Do you feel like, so just for a couple of things about it that I didn't realize, by the way, while we're doing this interview, Dr. Drew and I are sitting naked in a vat of hand sanitizer. Not that we're panicked.
No, it's just for us.
It's just what we
do. It's our custom.
The coronavirus is not, it's a sort of category of virus, right? So that there are different types. And from my reading, it was identified in the 1980s, right? So
coronaviruses.
Yeah. So why is it possible... Why isn't it possible to have a sort of a general vaccine in the 80s that can prevent this? Or is it because it has to be strain specific?
It has to be strain specific. You have to, your immune system has to be geared up for this coronavirus.
Okay. And
we had SARS, MERS, and H1N1, right? We have vaccines for these things. Where was everybody with MERS, by the way? Where's the press? How do we get through this without them? How do we do it? 40% fatality rate with MERS. 40%. How do we make it out of that without the press helping us?
Yeah.
How did we get out of H1N1? Do you remember the last pandemic? It was H1N1. It was 10 years ago. How'd we make it out? How'd we do it?
Okay, but
the medical system did what it's supposed to do and it took care of it. Give me a fucking break. I am beside myself.
So why do you, 10 years later, it's still the basic news organizations that were in play then. Why are they treating this differently?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. And why are we responding differently? It's even more interesting. I think ultimately all roads lead to narcissism. I think people, hey, it's me. I'm special. I'm going to get this special virus. People seem to have lost their judgment about where they fit in a population. Right. You know what I mean? There have been 300 cases.
Yeah.
There are 350 million of us. Yeah. That 300 are not going to touch you.
Yeah, as we speak.
You better start buying lottery tickets if you think that way, because you're much more likely to win the lottery. And by the way, you are much more likely to die of the flu than corona. Much.
Right.
Why don't you get a flu shot? What's that thinking? That's narcissistic thinking.
In the last 12 months, how many people roughly have died from the flu?
Over 18,000.
Okay. We've had, as we speak today, 725 deaths from the coronavirus. And you would think it's the
not in this country. No. 725 cases.
Cases
in this country.
Sorry, cases, not deaths.
26 dead.
Right.
26 versus 18,000.
Yeah.
Which number is bigger?
I don't know.
Which bigger number?
Listen, I'm not
a numbers
guy anymore.
I know. I'm confused. I know. You
somebody get a calculator? So here's the thing. But here's the thing. I think it's narcissism and that we're in a political cycle, the most important one. And so both sides are using it to weaponizing it.
Well, both sides should be ashamed of themselves. They should be ashamed.
Yeah.
People are being harmed.
Right.
They should be ashamed of themselves. And But this is not new. You know, I had an AM talk show for a couple of years, ended about 4 months ago. And every day I go, what is people's hair on fire about today? Think about it. You can't even remember what it was last week or the week before or the week before. People are freaking, breathless, yeah. Hair's on fire. Yeah. And then what was it? I don't remember what it was.
We live in a culture of general hysteria now.
Yeah, yes, we do.
And it's, I think, because of social media has empowered everybody to have an opinion about everything. I mean, look, before social media, people would go online and look for cures and for their ailments, right? Yeah. I've never done that in my life. It's ridiculous. So
how about before online?
Yeah. It's funny because my wife doesn't do social media, and she started to just to kind of look at my Twitter account and Instagram, whatever. And she had a really interesting take because we're so immersed in it. She goes, I like Instagram and Facebook. I don't like Twitter because people are mean on Twitter. People are aggressive on Twitter.
Yeah, they are.
And she's absolutely right. And you lose sight of that because you use it. But I think that's part of it too. I think that people, narcissism, want to attract attention to themselves. So they create hysteria of all sorts. Okay. So I did a tweet a little while ago, and it showed a poll, a national poll for the Democratic nomination. And it had Biden at, 52, Bernie Sanders at 40. It had Tulsi Gabbard at 2%, and then it had other at 6%. So other is beating Tulsi by 4 points. I just thought that was funny. I posted that and said that basically, and a woman wrote back almost immediately, this seems to be saying that you don't think a woman should be running for president. That is a way of trying to light a fire and create hysteria around a completely innocent, fun moment. And I don't know that you get back to it because I do think the 1,000-pound gorilla in the room is the CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. That news cycle, they need breaking news. I mean, look, when you have breaking news on the screen all the time, it's not breaking news.
I know.
And so honest. I think.
And by the way, if we ever have a real serious epidemic, I'm not going to know it from watching the press.
Right.
No way can I tell. By the way, I can't believe, I literally believe no stories about corona right now. None of it is checked. None of it is corroborated. All of it is.
You're saying don't believe anything.
Anything except what the CDC tells you. I every single story I've seen is suspect. Every story.
So the test.
Don't believe anything. They are not checking their sources. They are not doing anything. They're just reporting whatever flies across their desk.
So is it true that that the government or the CDC had wind of this before the first of the year and that they should have started on a test back then? Like, why aren't these tests available more widespread?
No.
That's what people say. A million tests
ridiculous.
Are coming.
Ridiculous. Look,
a million tests are supposed to come.
Stop.
All right.
We have public and private access to tests now. Do you hear doctors complaining about it? Do you hear any physician going, God damn, I needed a test. I couldn't get it. No. Tests are not done on everybody. If they're done on everybody, they're not a diagnostic test anymore. They're a screening instrument. And that's an entirely different kind of test. Mm-hmm. Diagnostic test is when the index of suspicion is high. You have somebody with a fever, with a cough, who looks like corona, who's had contact. Then you apply the test. Others, you do not apply the test. That's how test works
in
medicine.
So there are enough tests to go around.
More than enough.
Okay, so
And by the way, let me just say, if anybody else is in that intermediate category where they don't have contact history and they're maybe just have an upper respiratory infection, stay home.
Right.
Don't contact anybody.
Right.
We're not going to test you because we don't do that. We don't test everybody with suspect illness.
Right.
We have to have a high index of suspicion. That's how medicine works. It's like literally like saying, geez, that surgeon took 2 more hours to decide to make that operation. The operation was a great success, but he took 2 hours to decide to do it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This is all my profession. This is how we work. It's nothing to do with journalists.
Right.
Nothing. They should be out of this. Oh, my God. It makes me crazy.
So I think I'm going to give you the coronavirus just to calm me down. But you know what I'm talking about. So at the time we're taping this, about a week ago, that was the headline in all
the
news.
Did you hear a physician?
There's no test. There's no test.
A doctor say anything about it.
The million tests are coming on Monday.
Did one physician say? Yeah.
So where did that come from?
The journalist. It took a little bit longer than we would have liked. It was a little bit choppy in terms of getting what we needed. Nobody was hurt. Didn't make any difference to anything.
So every network has its health professional on staff that talks to this. Why aren't they
Because they want to keep their jobs. And then I notice that the guys, the experts that they call in, are being very deferential to the hosts, to the anchors. They need, because they like to get on the air.
Because there's no story. If they come in and say what you say, there's really no story.
Well, not only is there no story, they won't be asked back.
Right.
They're afraid that they won't be asked back on these outlets. And they're being kind of kind to them, and their oblique answers and being... I watched it this morning. I'm like, oh my God, you need to tell them to shut up.
The guy from Vanderbilt.
Yes. Yeah. I see it all the time. Just tell them to shut up. Dr. Oz and I were in agreement last night. Total agreement about this. Total agreement. I met with a pediatrician that was coming off a set at Fox yesterday in New York. Total agreement about this. There's no disagreement amongst my peers about what this is. What's different is I got on there and said, shut up. The pediatrician was on there going, well, you need to get your but very, very kind to them. No, we have to stop being kind.
How are they
stop
reacting it. To you on social
they
media?
They changed their language. Yeah, on social media?
Yeah.
It goes all over the place. It goes from thank you to you're an addiction doctor. How dare you talk about this? I'm an internist. I worked deep in the AIDS epidemic for years. I did a lot of infectious disease in my time. So please get out of my way.
Right.
I know this material.
How are the producers reacting to you?
They changed their language. Fox, I noticed last night, I was in the morning shows, and I watched the later shows, and I noticed they changed their language. Good for them.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, tip of the hat to Fox New York. You went from the word staggering... staggering to just reporting the material.
Can I just say, I want there to be, when this is done, another virus, because I love this Dr. Drew. I love how only Susan gets to see you.
We
like
can talk
this, right?
about the homeless this way too. I'm just as worked up about that.
See,
I've been sort of
that.
Preloaded with that topic because we got three people dying a day in LA County. A day. But, every day that we sit in.
But you had to know that there was a homeless problem for a while. What flipped the switch for you that brought it to this level of concern?
It was sort of a multi-step process a couple of years ago. First, my home became overrun with rats. Overrun. We couldn't control it.
That house? Your house that I've
been to? Overrun. We actually started putting them online and stuff, all the video we had of the rats. It was crazy.
Wow.
Could not control them.
You know, I thought when I ate at your house, it tasted like rat droppings.
And so when that happened, I chased it back into the Arroyo and stuff, in the homeless encampments. I thought, oh my God, this is coming from the homeless encampments. We're going to have a typhus outbreak. I practiced medicine there long enough. I've seen lots of
so
typhus.
Back up for the listeners. The camps are attracting, or the camps are disrupting where the rats...
No, they are ground zero for millions of rats, it turns
because
out.
Because it's filth, there's food.
Everyone has too much food. They just throw it out outside their tents, and the rats just go to town. Millions of rats in Los Angeles, and we're one of the only major cities in the world that doesn't have a rodent control plan. Mm. Millions. So I followed that back and I went, oh my God, we're going to have a typhus outbreak. I knew it. I know what happens in that part of the country. I've practiced medicine for 30 years there.
Explain to people what typhus
is. Typhus is a rickettsial disease. It's sort of a relative of Rocky Mountain spotted fever. It's on the raccoons and the possums, but it gets onto the rats. And then it gets onto our pets, and that's sort of how we get it.
Oh my God, it's staggering. There's a pandemic of typhus. Let's start.
Right. Oh, they pretended it wasn't happening. They suppressed everything I was saying.
But what happens to you when you, is it respiratory? Is it?
Oh, it's horrible. You get a vasculitis. You get this rash on your hands and feet that is incredibly painful. You get high fevers. You can get a cerebritis. You can get strokes. It's a mess. Mm. It's a terrible illness. And somebody in City Hall got it, and she ended up suing City Hall for denying that it was part of the rodent problem for
in
the homeless.
Los Angeles.
Yes. It was assistant city attorney got it. So I was looking at that going, oh my God. And then I started talking to people in San Francisco and all the feces on the street. I said, well, that's going to be norovirus. We're going to have a norovirus because that volatilizes off the feces. Norovirus came. We had two summers of massive norovirus outbreaks. And I started studying what comes next after typhus endemically in Southern California, Yersinia pestis. The last Yersinia outbreak was in Southern California in the 20s. You may know it as a more common term called bubonic plague.
Yeah.
And that was in Los Angeles and because of an uncontrolled rodent bloom, which we have now. So I talked to several plague experts and they said, oh yeah, it's inevitable. It's inevitable.
You're inevitable.
Inevitable, it's coming. So I started talking about that. And then I started looking at the homeless population and getting involved with what's going on and why we aren't solving it. And oh my God, what I found.
What?
Well, just a total failure of the ability to help people with brain diseases and a government that insists on conflating a serious problem, lack of affordable housing, with the mental health crisis of homelessness. These are entirely different problems. And the rhetoric started getting me angry. They refused to talk about the mental health and addiction piece.
So let's back up and make a connection. You're saying it's not that there isn't enough housing. It's these people.
There is not enough housing. That will not affect homeless.
Because they are dealing with mental issues.
This is an open air asylum and severe, 80% are on drugs, 70%
right.
minimum.
Right.
And meth and fentanyl are just ubiquitous now.
So you've got to get that fixed before you worry about putting them into a home.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to go anywhere.
Right.
And if you do, they're just going to die.
And what? Listen, you're a smart guy, but there are other smart people too. Why are they sort of ignoring that aspect of it? They have to know that.
They literally pretend it's not happening. I went up to Sacramento and gave a talk and excoriated them. I called them morally indefensible what they're doing. And literally, it is a philosophy where they say, that's how they want to live. Who are you to say? Literally, they're saying, these are non-mental health people who don't know anything about mental health. Mm. We took families up to Sacramento and said, please, we're begging you. Our sons and daughters, they're dying on the streets. We have a bed for them. We have doctors. We have money, resources. Help us get them home. I told them to F off. Scram. Get out of here. Who do you think you are? These are adults. They can do what they want. As though brain disease. And if we're a dementia patient, we rush in. Same symptoms, denial, disorganization, delusions. Mm-hmm. That's dementia. Mm-hmm. Schizophrenia, bipolar, addiction cause the same thing. Those illnesses can't touch.
Why?
Dementia, if you don't treat them, you're guilty of elder abuse. That's insane.
So then
it's insane.
Why that bias? Why?
It's their civil rights, man, whatever they want to do. Are you saying they're not completely, they denial that there's such a thing as a brain disorder?
And is it because they just don't have an ability to deal with it, so we're going to deny
No, they it. Literally pretend it's they literally don't know what they're talking about.
But there has to be a reason. There's got to be one doctor in all of California at the government level that works and says yes.
But none, the politicians, look at every homeless panel. You will not see one mental health or physician on the panels. You'll not see it. They refuse to involve
So
anyone
what's the
for
motivation
medicine.
For the politician to do that? Because that has to be intentional. So what is their fear? Because I'm trying to figure out, okay, if that's the agenda of the politicians to keep you guys at the outside the door, well, what are they getting out of it? What are they not?
I guess they're getting the Civil Liberties Union is happy, ACLU's happy. And
because these people are being left alone,
yes,
and allowed to do what they want to do.
Right. And I guess they get a political platform to talk about a lack of affordable housing. And yet the reason we have lack of affordable housing is the excessive regulation. Yet they refuse to dial that down.
The regulation regarding what?
Construction.
Right.
The other thing we need some residential. You know, I have a whole plan for how to deal with homelessness. I know exactly how to deal with it. These are my patients. I've dealt with them for 30 years. No big deal. We can treat them. No problem. But we need some things done, and we need some laws.
Many homeless don't want to go into homeless shelters.
Most don't want to leave
because they don't feel safe. Is that?
No, they're sick. They have a brain disorder,
right?
And they have something called anosognosia. Anosognosia, the common name for it is denial, but it's more biological than that, where they lose insight into what's happening.
And how does that contribute? Why does that make a person say, I'd rather sleep on the sidewalk than go sleep in a bed in a homeless shelter?
It has many different, it's hard to imagine that subjective state they're in. Mm. They literally don't see what's happening to them. And they're paranoid, and they're agitated, and they want to keep using, and they don't like being contained. That's part of the illness.
Can you shift some money around within the homeless?
We have tons of money, tons of money for this. Tons.
But the money
billions.
Is billions. What's the money being spent on? Because I see the more
$750,000 condominiums. Because that's what it costs to buy per bed to build permanent housing for these people. That's the cost of building bedrooms in Los Angeles.
So you're taking a sick person, building them a nice house, sticking them in there, and then they probably don't want to be there anyway.
They're not going in.
And they're not going in.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting empty.
Yeah. And then you have people going, well, are we, like my city in Pasadena where I live, I talked to the mayor and he goes, oh yeah, we've got some permanent housing for them. And we've discovered if we give them wraparound services that things go rather well. I go, mayor, the term wraparound services is what we provide in a psychiatric hospital. If you go in and have your knee replaced, you don't get wraparound services. Wraparound services is a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a social worker, a vocational rehab. That's wraparound services. These are that defines a psychiatric patient. Right. Stop the rhetoric around, oh, it's wraparound services. These are psych cases. Right. They're getting psychiatric care. Good. Yeah. That's what they need.
Right. And why is it getting worse
because of Prop 47, Prop 57, which has legalized the use and distribution of drugs. And so all the drug addicts from all over the country are coming.
So now they're...
And you can steal this for your habit, up to $950 a day.
You can what?
In Los Angeles, in California, this is the insanity of the laws in California. You can steal up to $950 a day, and it's a misdemeanor. I challenge you to come visit us in Southern California, stand in a Target, and watch the people just walking past the cashiers. Nobody does anything.
Oh, you're not drugged. $950 worth of merchandise you can steal?
Yeah.
Why haven't I been doing that every time I go?
And they get misdemeanors if they get caught. They get the citation. Of course, they blow that off, and that's the end of it.
So you were saying
And if you're trafficking, you just go, oh, I wasn't selling it just for my personal use. They know exactly what amount that the law enforcement can't enforce any trafficking laws, so they always traffic in those exact amounts. And then now they're dying, three a day. So when we have a guy, Gascon, who's come down from San Francisco, he wants to be the DA, and he wants to make it worse. My opinion is that guy's a murderer. He's putting my patients in the morgue. They don't belong in the prison. I'm with you on that. They don't belong in the morgue.
In what way does he want to make it worse?
He wants to make it, you can't touch these people. You can't do anything with them.
The DA?
I
thought you were going to say he was going the other way.
No, he didn't want to make it so you can't get near them in any way for anything.
So just to connect the dots for the listeners, someone is homeless or a drug addict in, Iowa, whatever. Yeah. They realize, oh, I can go to California.
I can traffic, I can steal.
I can traffic and I can steal and I'll live on the streets.
Yeah. In Santa Monica, on the beach. I can live on the beach.
That's right.
And nobody will get near me.
I could steal $950 worth of suntan lotion. Do you think most of these people that are coming in or flocking in are homeless in another state or another region of the country?
Or just drug addicts? I don't know. It's a good question. They end up homeless very quickly with us, though.
You said three a day are dying from, is it still oxycodone? What is it?
Fentanyl. Yeah. Fentanyl, heart attacks, infectious diseases. It's ridiculous. Now, we have another brilliant law in California. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
They've decided you can't prosecute anybody 12 or under. You're not allowed to prosecute them.
At all?
At all.
For any drug violence?
For anything. And so, because they're, how could they, you can't hold them accountable. They're children. Yeah. So guess who got wind of that? The cartels. And so they're now on the gaming sites, developing relationships with 8 and 9-year-olds. And that's now the mules across the border in San Diego. San Diego authorities have captured 100 of them.
Wow.
Can't do anything with them. They're still muling.
Sends them back.
Send them back to their home. Parents.
Now, are these Americans or are these?
Americans.
Americans.
You can't prosecute anybody under 12. So the cartel goes on the gaming sites, Twitch and stuff, and starts going, hey, man, you want to make some money? I got a job for you. And they start muling meth primarily across the border.
And then probably
and fentanyl.
Probably start using at 15 and then the next
maybe. Thing. I don't know why they're making thousands of dollars. Who knows? This is the utopia of California. So I was sort of a Mike Bloomberg fan until he went to California and went, this is a liberal utopia here in California. But Mr. Bloomberg, you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
It is a catastrophe in California right now.
So who's controlling this lack of information or the quality of the information flow? To tie it back to what we were talking about with the networks and the delivery of the information about coronavirus, it's the same sort. To me, it feels like, what is the agenda that we're not telling people this?
I don't know. I'm out there talking about it all the time, and I've spoke about it in many places, and nobody, and I even talk about the history of how we got here and what a mess
we made.
But
what is your you're right, you have been. Why are you the lone wolf?
I'm not, because I find lots of receptive, first of all, again, everybody in mental health services, everybody who takes care of these patients, we all have complete agreement about this.
Why won't the authorities sort of latch onto this and go, okay, because maybe these guys got something.
We live in a world where ideology is more important than anything else. Civil rights and ideology trumps everything. Does not, it begs no alternative, even when people are dying at three a day.
Well, see, politics, this gets back to the coronavirus and both sides weaponizing it for their own agenda. So a politician says, okay, if I start to do what I know I need to do with these people, get them into mental health facilities, et cetera, my opponent in the next election is going to say, I'm in violation of their civil rights, right, blah, blah, blah. They're going to use it as a hammer.
Right.
I want my job. Yeah. I want my job. Yeah. I want my job. Yes, you know what I mean?
I at one point was working very hard to try to lift the veil of qualified immunity so I can prosecute these people for murder.
Explain that.
Well, politicians and police officers have what's called qualified immunity.
Right.
You can't prosecute them for these crimes.
Right.
We need to change that. Then they'll change. If we hold them, if they can be held accountable. I'm held accountable as a doctor. I can be held criminally accountable if I'm negligent. I want them held accountable for negligence.
I know that's a great idea, but that's like saying Congress is going to pass term limits. They're never going to self-police. I mean, look, on a slightly different subject but related, I blame the American public and the voters, right? So they keep talking about, and again, I don't have an agenda here, but, you know, Trump, and how do these Republicans support Trump? Because their constituents have said to them, if you don't go with Trump, I'm going to fire you from your job.
Right.
I'm not going to vote for you.
Right.
Now, can I blame the guy for going, my whole life, I worked to be a senator. Now I got a family to support. Plus, I've got, you know, all this money that I'm in debt from political campaigning.
Yeah.
I'm going to want to keep my job. The people, if they're happy with it, then that's what they, you know, so it's sort of like.
And I think it's also people of substance need to step up into politics.
Why don't you think they do? I've thought about it.
I talked about it just sort of casually on Adam Carolla's show, and there was an overwhelming outpouring of support. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah. I would. I mean, you got a porn pass. I mean, you did a lot of porn.
There's that. We got to talk about that. We'll push that out.
But what is your... No, you're, okay,
but,
so you...
But I was like, wow, people are hungry for this.
Okay.
I was just...
But
I was,
you're a test case.
Yeah.
Why... You're right. You would be great.
And I couldn't do it because I've got other jobs, other obligations. It's a thankless, payless mess of a job.
Right.
That I've got to be sort of at the end of my career and ready to go. And my kids have to be on board with it. And everybody's got to be okay. And my wife's got to be on board with it.
Right.
And we're going to, you know, be of service to our country now. That's what I'm going to go do. And I would like to do that someday, but not now.
How do we fix this? Because there are two big issues here for me. One is there's a lack of accurate information. Okay.
Yeah.
And the information that is being put out ends up going down the path of hysteria.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How we tried to address the first one, we don't really know how you get accurate information out there. Guys like you are trying to. But then when you couple that, it's like dynamite, right? So then you go, okay, we got bad information and people are getting hysterical about it or being made to be hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
How do we pull back on that aspect of it?
The hysteria?
Yeah.
I think we just got to be louder. Said, we don't have any choice.
Yeah.
Do we? Tell
no.
me. I'll take it.
No. I mean, the problem is that the power of the, and I know I'm sorry, probably repeating myself, but the cable news networks are so powerful.
Not really.
Well.
They're losing it anyway. I think people are going to eventually get sick of it.
Okay,
they're going to get sick and realize they're just listening to noise.
Okay,
I
have Yahoo, right? So I go on the homepage this morning.
Okay.
50% of the articles are corona, and there is no new information in any of them.
Right.
But when you see that much,
thing I would like too, by the way, I would like journalists to stop saying that they're that it's a profession and that they have integrity. Stop it. Stop it. That's offensive. You're a commercial enterprise. You're saying anything to capture eyes and clicks. Fine.
Yeah.
But do not tell me you have integrity in your journalists. They need to stop that immediately.
Do you blame China for this coronavirus?
they had some missteps, but then they took care of business. You know,
no. So you feel like they did it right.
Yeah,
and the cruise ships and
yeah.
By the way, I don't know why anybody go. Why would you go?
I like cruises.
Let me just ask. Let me just say this though. And first of all, whenever I watch TV and there's a story about a cruise ship, it's never positive.
it's never.
There was a cruise ship 2 months ago. That rammed into the back of another cruise ship, like two Camrys on 6th Avenue. How do you not miss that? You have the entire ocean. Drive around. Just drive around. But seriously, like you're the exception.
You've never been on one.
No, because here's what. First of all,
I don't
like people that much. By the way,
you don't have to unpack and pack. You just get where you're going. And,
no, first of all, whatever you pay, and maybe you spend different money, but on the average, probably $800 a week. to basically sleep in a closet and eat Golden Corral buffet.
Yeah.
That's what you're eating.
Yes, yes.
There's only one reason to go on a cruise. That's to kill your husband. That's the only reason.
That's that you can push him off.
You know what I mean? Like, that always happens. That's the story. It's like somebody gets pushed off the thing. They ram the boat. Somebody got sick on food. And now it's this.
My wife and I have started watching The Love Boat again. Seriously. And Adam brought it. Adam Kroll brought it up the other day. And we sort of, and we noted it was on our scroll. And we were like, we watched it first like a car accident. It's like, oh my God, people watch this wreck. Can you believe it?
I know, but it's
And then we got hooked. it's crazy.
Well, you know what? AMC has a sense of humor because they played the Poseidon Adventure the other night. So, I mean, there you
Strangely,
go.
What's her name? Stephanie? What was the woman's name? The blonde woman that was Ernest Borgnine's wife in the film?
Stephanie Pound? Oh, yeah. I know.
She was on The Love Boat.
Yeah. Oh. I got into the part where Ernest Borgnine is screaming at Gene Hackman, who was cast as a priest, and Hackman...
Ernest Borgnine was on Love Boat. Yeah, what happened to people? With Shelley Winters.
Exactly. She was in... She swam and she couldn't swim. Jack Albertson was there. And so Borgnine and Hackman in the scene, it's like the most overacting. They're just screaming, I'm... Like, you were supposed to say, I'm gonna, damn it, you're gonna do it. This is Gene Hackman, a priest, like, not calm, freaking out, like, completely, like, what do we,
but then. Sounded like me talking about homeless.
Yeah, it's sort of like, I guess they figure, let people see this, and they can realize you could have a better life if you just went down like the Poseidon. And, like, so what do you, I mean, was that a wrong move to put everybody on a cruise ship and contain them and make, because what I, okay, here's a perfect example.
Fine.
Okay, wait. Okay, so here's a perfect example, because I and Paul, the producer, you probably heard this too, where I'm an example of the person receiving this information, and you're more adept at what's true and what's not.
Yeah.
So my impression as a consumer of the information coming at me from the networks, the papers, the websites, is that it was a mistake to quarantine these people on these ships because it wasn't quarantined properly. In other words, they were having servants, whatever you call them, deckhands, bringing food, you know, with gloves on, and then they hand you the food. Then they don't change their gloves, and they get something. So if I touch you, and so forth. So there was no one overseeing. Is
Shut
that true?
Up.
Well, is
Shut
that,
up.
How do you know that's not
it
true?
It wasn't a hospital. They don't have perfect infection control.
Well, then why would you quarantine them? Why not?
Because you don't know who's had the contact.
So then take them in buses and put them, right? Like
now you're exposing, you have a perfect containment. Use it. Keep them on the ship.
See, this is the exact, the press, and especially I think the liberal press, because it goes after the administration, is saying that was a big mistake. That was a big mistake.
Perfect. It's unfortunate. It's terrible for people that stuck
I would put them on a big bus.
You're already exposing everyone. Now you're, no, wait, I don't touch you. Who's going to drive?
You blow.
Who's going to drive the bus?
You, because you're so angry. You blow the somebody who's terminal with another disease.
You have a perfect unit of containment.
Listen to me. Somebody,
you couldn't do better
somebody,
than people off the shore on a ship. It's perfect containment. Don't fuck with that.
But it was done improperly.
It's not a hospital. They don't have infection control. People on the ship might get exposed. It's a little bit dicey for those on the ship. Do the best you can to socially isolate. Wash your hands to get your flu shot. Do the best you can. Listen to the medical doctor on the ship. And then contain it out there and bring it home once you have a handle on what's going on.
But you admit that they should have run it more like a hospital and not a...
You can't do that. It's impossible.
Well, from a helicopter. What did you think of that? They dropped tests from a helicopter.
Good.
That looked a little strange to me.
How is he going to get them there?
Because it seemed like it was futile at that point.
What do you think the goal of the containment is? To prevent anybody on the ship getting the virus? No.
Right. So you're asking a small group to sacrifice themselves for the good of the masses. Who are you to ask that of those people? Seriously.
That's what the press is asking for with everybody. No more gatherings, no more sporting events. What are you talking about? That's what this is, containment. If you get exposed, you sit at home for two weeks in a room by yourself.
The three of us are on a ship, okay?
Yeah.
And just to, ironically, you have the virus, Dr. Okay. Drew.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
Paul and I don't.
Yeah.
Okay? So the argument is we're going to keep you and everybody else.
You may have been exposed by virtue of being in the circulatory system of this, of me.
Okay.
So you got to sit for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Sorry.
And then after 2 weeks, I have to stay on the ship.
We'll test you, and if you're negative, you get out. 2 weeks.
I think it's my decision.
Or you sit at home for 2 weeks.
No, that's fine.
Well, but you go home, you could expose somebody, and now every person on that ship has to be followed individually in their environments. You can't do that.
I think they should have put them all on a giant bus.
Who immediately someone, you have a
someone drives it who's terminal with something else. They're going to die anyway.
They'd have to die on the bus while they're driving them to wherever you're taking them.
Yeah, we need a driver.
And well, wherever you take them, they can't get out of the bus.
Well, let them sit on the bus.
You see, you have a perfect containment.
But why? Why can't you walk them into like a wing of a hospital? Shut down a wing.
What? How are you going to do that?
Why would you keep them in a
hospital? And why would you keep them in a hospital? They don't need a hospital. They have a perfect thing on the ship. It's perfect.
So what do we do with all this? Where do we go? Like, what? You're going to continue to kind of
scream, yeah,
and go crazy, yeah. Is the homeless thing the biggest social issue
for me.
That you think this country's dealing with?
No, I don't know that. But as a doctor, it's the biggest thing because I can't live with it. I can't live with three of my patients dying every day from neglect, and it's just unconscionable.
And you're seeing across the country addiction and death from drugs going up.
Crazy. Well, no, it's going down because we got control over the prescribing problem, which was the main driver of the deaths. Now the main driver is fentanyl.
And is Big Pharma, can we ever rein them in? Because their agenda doesn't seem to match with the general health of the public.
I don't know how to answer that because that's different than, I just told you, we got them reined in on the prescribing.
Right.
So that's not a problem. My profession perpetrated that, not pharma. My profession did.
Right.
Be super clear about that. They were duplicitous. They didn't do it. We did it.
Mm-hmm. Do you expect that this hysteria is going to calm down on corona?
Well, because it's going to be over in a few weeks.
You think it will be?
Yeah. Of course.
Because they're making it seem like it's not going to be over in a few weeks.
Good, because it keeps you watching.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be over. Viruses, epidemics end. They go up and they go down.
Hey, it's a pandemic. Get it right. Get it right, buddy. Well, I'm glad we got together to talk.
Yeah,
and you got
too.
To vent.
I'm having a stroke, but it's okay.
I could talk to you all day about this, but I just think that I think it's a very complicated world we live in between the networks and social media and the power of the internet.
I'm trying to really figure out the hysteria thing because that's a new thing. Our catastrophizing and hysterics. It's global warming. It's corona. It's a Russian operative in the White House. It's always, I mean, what the hell?
Well, I think it feels heightened because we're in a presidential election season.
It's been going for 2 years.
Look, the minute they get in, they start running again. And I really do think that at all, look, it's very intoxicating.
I know it is.
You're president of the United States.
It's late night. That's the problem. late night is doing it.
Yeah, well,
late night's the problem. Yes,
he's pointing his finger at me, by the way, everybody. So, but you know what I'm saying? It's sort of like, okay, you're president.
So let's not listen. Why are we listening? Why aren't we just going about our business?
Because politics isn't a civil servant job. It's a blood sport now for us to watch and enjoy and divide
That's
and
terrible.
Conquer, right?
Terrible.
And so, I mean, here's a perfect example. So I was doing this one-man show. I bring people on stage. They tell stories from their lives. This is how crazy it's
been. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm talking to a person. I said, how you doing? She goes, oh, it's a rough couple of years. That's all she said. And you could tell she was talking about the politics of the world, all right? Another guy comes up, and I said, we're talking, and he mentioned something like, yeah, I don't know. It's crazier than I thought it would be. And again, kind of referencing. And then a third guy comes up, and I'm talking to him, and he gave me an answer. And I said, well, that's in the zeitgeist out there. And a guy in the audience in the back of the theater yelled, it's not Trump's fault. Trump's name was never mentioned.
Wow.
Republican, because we don't talk politics in the show.
Wow.
People are on the lookout. That is a form of hysteria.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And so this divisive us versus them, it doesn't, is a form of hysteria.
Yes.
And hysteria.
It's on both sides.
But
I'm
hysteria
not saying
gets
it's on
you
one
clicks
side.
On the internet. If hysteria gets you ratings, okay? I mean, I was told somebody, at one of the cable networks said they were told to just keep talking about Trump because whether Republican or Democrat, that drives the numbers.
Yeah.
Keep talking about it.
That is correct.
And so when you have a system that's driven financially by hysteria.
Again. Stop talking about stop saying you're a journalist with integrity again. Stop it.
Yeah.
You're insulting me. I'm offended. just your commercial enterprise. You know, I have a weird memory from the 70s. It's very weird that it stayed with me all the way to this day. I was watching like a news magazine show about the Soviet news agencies. It was like a 60 Minute Report or something. And this journalist, a very sort of well put together, you know, smart Soviet, said, was talking to somebody like Mike Wallace or something. And he goes, I don't know why you're so critical of our news media. He goes, in your country, it's a commercial enterprise. In ours, it's a political enterprise. You're just as distorted as we are. Hmm. And I thought, and at the time I thought, how offended, how dare.
Right.
We're there.
Yeah.
He was absolutely right.
Yeah. Well, that's what we started to do on The Daily Show. And that was that was a turn that we made where it wasn't just about doing jokes about stuff in the news, but it was the media's coverage of news. And then we would do on the man on the street of how to do an undercover. This one thing with Brian Unger is hilarious. So, you know, in New York, Christmas time, you got the
Salvation Army.
Salvation Army. He's got there, and it's a Santa there.
Yeah.
And so we did an undercover. This is how you do an undercover sting, right? So first you got to get a camera, you put it in the bag. So now this is an actual camera in the bag. So he goes up to the Santa. This is real. This is all not set up. And he goes, you really don't look like a real Santa. Yeah, thanks, buddy. Where does all that money go? There should be an account. And he keeps going. And finally, the Santa goes, you need to move on now. I'm trying to do my job. Oh, it's a job. You're not a sir. So you got to move on. And then Brian says one other thing. And he goes, you say one more thing, buddy. And Brian says one more thing. And the Santa takes a swing at him. And he goes, that's called the moment. And then what you do in post-production is you slow it down in a very slow motion way.
Yes.
And you pan it. Yeah. And so that was all true.
Yes.
On a huge level. And so, you know.
Why don't we do more of that? Why doesn't The Colbert Show do more of that?
I don't know. I think it's really important. And there is enough to, I mean,
yeah, John Oliver sort of does that too.
Yeah, every once in a while. I mean, like I said before, when you have breaking news, I'm screaming at the TV, and both networks are doing, all of them, breaking
news. All of them are guilty.
Oh, yeah. And so it is this sort of, and look, I've gone on the panels too. I can't tell you how many people are so ill-prepared who are commentators and who, you know, they're just reading off a talking point.
Yeah.
So, and then just the idea is we're going to substitute intelligence and thoughtful analysis with just screaming.
Noise.
The louder I am,
noise.
The smarter I am.
It's all Jerry Springer.
So, yeah. And so it has gotten so big. I don't think it's a monster that could be contained. That's why this will be gone in 3 weeks and then there'll be something else.
That's the way it's been for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I agree. And I just hope eventually people tire of it and stop watching so their business model collapses.
Well, I want to make an announcement here. I know you didn't want me to do this, that Dr. Drew is running for senator in California.
I am going to be your campaign I have a friend
manager.
Of mine that offered a dinner last night to be the campaign manager for exactly that office. Strangely enough, people are coming out of the woodwork. They want to give me money. They want me. People are dying.
You would be great because you're honest.
People are dying
for
real people in the politics.
Right. And you're right. You've got a whole major career happening. Do you put the brakes on that? And then, yeah.
I want to be of service. I have a friend of mine who's a former Army Ranger, and he's like, you have to be of service to your country. It's your time. And he got under my skin with it. And I was like, oh, he's so right. I do want to serve my country at some point. Just not yet. Just not right now.
All right. Well, what are we on? What can we can see you?
DrDrew.com.
Yeah, DrDrew.com. And then we'll see you on
Fox LA.
Fox LA. Whatever. Just screaming at everybody. Listen, everybody mute your TVs. Only turn the volume up when you see Dr. Drew.
Yeah, just don't listen to this stuff. Don't listen to it. And don't be afraid of the word pandemic. That's the latest thing they're trying to scare you with.
So what should I think about that word when I hear it?
New virus that is widespread. It's a technical word.
Okay, but widespread doesn't give me a lot of comfort either.
It's widespread.
Oh, because
it is widespread. It's not everywhere. Everyone's not infected. It's around the globe.
Around the globe.
It's widespread.
Okay. But that doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
It's not a good thing, but it's not devastation. It's not a horrible, horrible epidemic.
I'm going to get a bill passed that you can only use the word pandemic in 16-point font. on TV.
Maybe.
It's like massive font. It's half the screen. Don't panic about pandemic.
Don't panic.
Do
Gary.
All the things
and
that
you
don't
believe what the media is telling you about. And think about this. You know, something called Gelman amnesia. You ever heard of this concept? Famous physicist named Dr. Gelman, who looked at the paper and would hear stories on press, the media, and television about physics, because he was a physicist, and he'd go, God, they get physics wrong every time. They never get this right. They're way off the truth. And then he'd go listen or read some stories about complex international relations and politics and assume that was accurate. It's all wrong. God help you if you're ever the object of a story, and you'll see how far away from the truth they are all the time. And the innuendo and the story and the twisting.
And the way they phrase it.
And so there's certain things as a physician, when they dig their teeth into, I get deeply troubled by and offended. This is the thing. I've got a viral outbreak on my hands that my peers are trying to contain, and they're turning it into way more than it needed to be.
And the facts are there, and they're not that alarming. Like just reading from something that I pulled up, a large study in China found that 80% of the confirmed cases of the coronavirus
mild
symptoms. About 15%, 10 to 15% had severe symptoms that cause shortness of breath, low blood oxygen.
All smokers.
Right.
Okay. Older.
There you go. So, and then fewer than 5% of the cases were critical, featuring respiratory failure, organ problems. But these are people who
at risk. And there were some gaffes in the healthcare delivery. They did not get what they needed quick enough.
So if people take time to read some
South
of this.
Korea. South Korea is your model for what will happen here. And the fatality rate there is the same as the flu. Same.
What are they doing in South Korea that
they have a system like ours.
Right. Yeah, I heard it's been better and really on point than ours.
The healthcare system?
To respond to this, I mean. No?
Same. Same. It's been good. They did a good job.
Right. Well, that's what I mean.
We're doing a good job too.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not. We're 3,000 miles across.
I understand, but
we don't have to have the same kinds of social isolation that somebody on a little island like Japan has to deal with. It's a different challenge. Japan has to really isolate to prevent spread.
Right.
We have a 3,000-mile continent.
Right.
We're spread out. Yeah. We don't have the same challenges.
Why such a problem in Italy with this?
I don't know. I have a suspicion it may be their healthcare system. Hmm. I have a suspicion.
Yeah, we Italians aren't good with that stuff.
Yeah. Someone's got to tell that. So I was going to look into exactly that because my wife was beating on me about that last night. She goes, I have friends with their healthcare. I thought, maybe it's the healthcare.
Yeah. We have a friend that was studying, their kid's studying abroad. He had to come back and now he's quarantined in his parents' house.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to Italy. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't go on a cruise ship and I wouldn't go to Iran. And if I were 75 years old, I would stay home.
Yeah.
That's it.
The elderly with problems, the reason that they're more at risk is they potentially, their immune system isn't as strong because of their age.
No, it probably has something to do with the way the virus binds to the inner surface of the parenchyma of the lung, the air sacs.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. I don't know what you just said.
So but wait, the point is a young lung doesn't get infected. Old lungs do. Damaged lungs do.
Why? What is the difference between an old lung, young, and
the
old and young
lung? The protein surfaces are very different. The virus sees something different and is able to get into those air sacs.
Which don't exist as much in younger lungs.
At all. Young people don't get this. They don't get it. Yeah. They don't get complications for sure. We don't think they're even getting it at all.
Yeah, and Fauci's been doing a good point of pointing that out, but the news sort of glosses over that too and makes it.
Of course.
Everybody.
Yeah, any good news.
Yeah.
Just listen to Fauci, do what he tells you.
All right.
That's it. That's all you got to do.
All right, drdrew.com.
Yeah.
You'll see him announce his run for the Senate in 2 days. Ugh. Great to see you.
With my campaign manager. Oh, no, chief of staff? Which is it?
I want to be chief of staff, because that's really more power, because then I can fire people.
You do need power, Paul. And give me more power.
And I'm getting you a case of wine so you can relax.
Christ.
All right, thanks, buddy. All right, Great to see you.
Thank you. You too.
All right, there you go. That's Dr. Drew. I've never seen him that angry. It was like, you know, that when your dad is super, super angry and you're just like, I'm going to keep my mouth shut now and otherwise I'm going to get it. I'm going to go and we were sitting in a vat of sanitizer naked, just for the record. And I feel great. Please, Omaha Funny Bone this weekend, March 12th to the 14th. Come out and see me. March 26th to the 28th. I'm going to be at Comedy Club in Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. So if you're in the areas, come on out, check it out. Go to my YouTube channel and subscribe. And see you next week, everybody.